Colossians chapter 2. I first of all want to publicly say thanks to Brendan for stepping in. Bruce Sharpie was supposed to have preached last Sunday, and he called me on Wednesday, and was already down in Greenville, and said, I'm not going to be able to make this. He could tell his health was failing. So I called up Brendan, and by God's grace, he just instantly said, okay. He could tell I had few options at that point. And I just thank you, Brendan, publicly for stepping in such a short amount of time. And I believe that's the first time you ever preached. So that was a particular blessing for us. Okay, we're talking about living in Christ. I said that this statement at the beginning, and I want to emphasize the difference between living for Christ and living in Christ. And what I'm really aiming at here is that if you try to do it in your own power, it doesn't work. You've got to do it in the power of Christ. And that is huge. I know from working with people that are coming out of lifetime addiction, that can be the key issue. If they do not recognize the surrender to another power beyond us, they will never really find sustainability. That what we're talking about today is the difference of a Christian life that goes up and down and up and down and up and down, and one that has stability, even in the midst of life going up and down. Okay, so that's the thought that we're going at. I am going to, and I say this with Dr. McLaughlin present, I'm going to violate some rules of homiletics today. Partially because the books on homiletics is how to preach, are all written from yesteryear for the most part. And one of the things they say is you can use Greek and the English, the original language stuff for your own studies, but be really, really, really careful not to share that on a regular basis. And yet today you're going to hear a fair amount of it, because this is the reason. Here's the logic that's going on in my mind. It's from the feedback of several of you. We all now have access to some phenomenal tools in the electronic Bibles. And many times you can have access to the dictionaries. You can have access even to the parsing of the verbs and nouns. But yet you never are told how that applies and how to use it. And so I'm going to do a little of that today. And I want you to recognize there are tools that are easy to use and readily available. And if you want some guidance or help in that, I'd be thrilled, because I think your walk will go to another level as you delve into some of these things that are readily available on our phones and on our computers. Does that make sense at all? Now, after we're done today, you can come up, and I'm fair game. You can say, don't ever do that again. And I'll listen very carefully to your thoughts. But I started off in verse 3, not 4, like I said in the overhead, in whom you are given all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, it's based on this wisdom and knowledge that's found in Christ. Now, this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. It's the need of progress. He's saying, Paul was saying to them, I don't want you to get derailed from the knowledge and wisdom that is found in Christ. I don't want you to get tripped up. And particular with these fancy sounding arguments or statements or positions, if they don't match what the Word of God says. That's the point. And we are in a day and age where that is really prevalent all around us. I think of the charismatic movement and the emphasis that they bring up in their handling of certain passages. You just say, that isn't what it says. That's the opposite of what it's saying. And, you know, so we get some issues, and you have to be knowledgeable on that. And that is why we're going down the direction we're going. First of all, I want you to recognize it isn't a group of believers that are the bad guys in this. Because I believe a lot of those that are charismatic are believers. They're very genuine. They love the Lord, and they're trying their level best to serve the Lord. And I am not saying that. And I believe they are fellow Christians. They're part of the body of Christ. I'm not saying that. But I am saying to all of us, to myself, we got to be careful. The evil one is a deceiver. He is a liar. That's what this verse talks about. If I pick it up partway through, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand for the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's the problem with the day and age that we live. Okay, having said that, we're now starting to move into this passage. verse 5 says, "For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit." So what is he talking about? He says, well, we're all part of the body of Christ. I'm there with you in that sense. Rejoicing to see you. Rejoicing. That happens to be a verb which is singular. It was he was rejoicing with them. He was singularly rejoicing currently at the present time with them to see your good works and your good order and steadfastness of your faith. Now, I want to point out something. First of all, the "your" in both cases, this is found also in Romans chapter 12, where it talks about we're to present ourselves as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. That's in the plural also. So you know what it means when it says it's in the plural? It's all of us that are believers. This is the faith. This is what we are to be giving as a testimony. They, as a group, as a church group, had this reputation that he had heard about. He hadn't seen them face to face, but he had heard about it from their pastor, how they were good order and they were in steadfastness. Those are both military terms. And they're military terms that said that they were solidly united together. They were standing together. Now, let me say to us as a body of believers, we are living in a day and age that if you don't recognize it, we are already under attack, but we're going to be on the attack is only going to increase. It's not going to decrease. And one of the best blessings we have is that we can gather together. We can stand together. We can encourage one another. Going on, I'm kind of get through just this introduction here. "For you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." I want you to note that that verb right there is, and here's where I was talking about some of this, the Greek, and then you start paying attention to this because it is readily available to anybody. You don't have to know the original language. You have computer programs or phone programs that can pull this up for you and give you this information. And if you understood what it was telling you, it will increase your Bible study. It is that happens to be a present active imperative, and it's in the plural. So he was telling them, so walk in him. As a group, walk in him. The one that, for right now, I'm going to kind of keep it to this fact that it is present. It is present. It's going now. He wants us to be walking right now this way. He is commanding them. The imperative right there, the imperative is a command. Let me say this. When the Word of God says a command like that, and you read through it and recognize he is commanding it in a context to believers in general, you and I receive a command from God. And it is supposed to be working out in our lives right now. We have been commanded. I had one of my grandkids with me yesterday. And my wife was there, and they were in the other room, and one was doing something to the other grandchild, and Pam said something to the little guy that says, "Don't do that." And I saw, Pam didn't see this, but I saw him look back and see that Pam was in the other room, and then he did it again. Okay? There was consequences for that. I'll just say that. I won't belabor that any further. But there were consequences for that. That's not acceptable. You know what? God the Father sees what's going on here. He has commanded us right now to walk with him as a group. We are to walk with him. Now, what does walk with him mean? I'll tell you one thing it's talking about. It is not something where you're content with where you are. You ought to be moving forward. Do you get the point? It's a pilgrimage. Our walk with Christ, you need to recognize you're always moving, in my opinion. You're either moving closer to him or you're moving away. There isn't really such a thing as sitting on the side of the hill. I don't find that in my own life. I don't see it in the lives of others. If you think, no, I've arrived at a certain point and I'm okay with that, you are already going backwards. The mere thought that that's okay is a step in the wrong direction. Do you get my point on that? So he's talking about this progress. It is present, and it is supposed to be the subject, us. That's the active. And it is plural. It happens to be a group of us. So he is commanding us as a group to be walking in him. Note that. And we got to ask ourselves, what does that really look like? But we'll come back to that a little bit later. This word walk is used three other times in the book of Colossians. It says here that you may walk worthy. That was in chapter 1. We went over that earlier. He wanted us to walk worthy. That, by the way, was an infinitive. So he was saying there that this is what I want for you. I want you to walk worthy. Not that he was commanding them. He was expressing his heart's desire for them. Versus later on when he commands in the verse we have today. In which you yourself once walked. That's a punctiliar past tense stuff situation. You once did this. You walked in a wrong way. That's, if you take the whole context, it wasn't a positive context. They walked in the way of the world. But then he came back to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. There's again a command for us. Walk in wisdom. So if you get nothing else out of the message this morning, pay attention to this. God is delivering a word to you and I. As a group, we are to be walking in Him. It's supposed to, the fact that we are one of His should reflect how we are thinking, how we're talking, and how we're living. Therefore, the word walk. It goes on, and he says, rooted, and it talks about rooted in Him. Now, this is a fascinating, you know, here's one of those where I think you'll see the blessing of getting one of these phone programs where you could see it. But it says it is a perfect passive plural. So again, it's talking about as a group, we're rooted. It's talking to believers. It's not talking about non-believers. Here it's talking about believers in its context. But it is saying that it is, first of all, perfect. A perfect tense verb is this. Make note of this. It's not found all that often, but when you see it, it really has a significant impact. It is something that happened in the past, but it has absolute continuing impact. Do you get my point? It is something that took place, and it marks you, and it is always there with you. So whatever happened, you became rooted when you became a genuine believer. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? Now, let me say something else that is real. See that word passive? It's always been easy for me to remember because the word itself kind of implies, you know, I'm around people that are kind of passive about life. It's kind of like they aren't really engaged with it or something like that. Well, it reminds me of the true meaning of this type of a verb in the Greek. Passive means that the power to accomplish this is from a source outside of the individual it's being accomplished in. Okay, so I am rooted in Him by a power that is beyond me that comes in and does that in my life and does it in our lives as a group of believers. Who is that? It is Christ. It is God that has done this. Now that ought to stir your hearts to say, wow! You know, if you're wondering whether you can ever get ripped away from the anchor? No. The Almighty is the one who rooted you. Do you get the point? He is the one that put down the roots so that you can still be connected when the storm comes. It'll blow you around some, but you're rooted because of what He has done in our lives. Isn't that a blessed truth that you could miss if you didn't see this? And that's why I want to challenge you to contemplate, maybe take it another level. That's an agricultural. One was a military. Now we're dealing with a pilgrimage word picture. And now we're talking about an agricultural word picture. It's a tree with roots, and the roots go deep down, and they get your nourishment. That's where we ought to get our nourishment. It's in Christ. It's in Him. You notice that in the passage. But notice, rooted and built up are not the same. Now it is still passive. In other words, whatever is going on in this idea of being built up, to be edified, to be lifted up, it is still being done by God. It's by a power. God has begun a good work in you. And it'll keep going until we are absent from this body and present with Him. That's a beautiful truth. He's at work in us. We're not just here alone. But it is present. It's not perfect. It's not something that happened once and then has lasting impact that goes on. It is going on right now. It's going on right now. It's going on right now. It's going on right now. That's the emphasis of it. We are to be being built up right now. You are supposed to be built up more now than you were an hour from now. An hour ago, I should say. And even more built up an hour from now. Because it's a progressive thing. And it's going on right now. Now, that's a... What is built up? Well, that happens to be an architectural. It has a foundation. We're building on the foundation. And he's building it up. You get the point? It's edifying. It's lifting us up. And I can look at my own life and I see that, wow, I've seen God do a work. I am a different person than I was 35 years ago, 40 years ago. I'm different. Because not so much what I've done, but what he has done. He is both involved in this rooted and this building us up. Now, here's the point. I'll talk about this at the end, but right now, here's the point. One of the reasons why we don't experience the blessing of the truth is what we don't really understand the truth. And that's what I want you to understand today. You may say, well, I go up and down, up and down. Well, get a grip on what the Word says and then trust the Word. That's the point. Because your battles are first and foremost fought in your mind. And you need to be thinking biblically. And that's all I'm trying to do is give you a foundation to think biblically about life changes. Now, it talks about established. Now, notice again, it is also passive. So we have this fact, a rooted, built up, and established are all things that a source outside of us is doing to us, and it is him. It is he who is doing it. It is Christ who is doing it in us, the hope of glory. Establish our faith. It means just the way, there's really no reason to go into a definition established. It puts it in place. It gives us the continuity of it. It defines what it is. It establishes it. And it is, again, present, and it's plural. Now, here's the thought that I get of in this, and I'll come back to this at the end when I'm trying to apply the passage, but I'll say it now. If you're wondering, if you've been struggling with your Christian walk, one of the absolute ways in which God wants to work with us is one another. He wants us to work on life together. And that's why he uses the plural in these cases. We are to come along. We're to be so close to one another that we know when one another are struggling. I had an individual call me yesterday, and they had just quit their job because it hadn't worked out well. And they just quit their job, and we talked for a little while. I called them back about an hour later. And I said, I just want you to know, and I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you because your choice, my spirit is really troubled by it. You got to be really careful. The truth is, you could define the way you responded to your situation as addictive thinking. Be on guard. You are in a spiritual battle right now. Turn to the Lord and call me back. I'd be thrilled to pray with you. And show you passages to get encouragement. You see the point? I was trying to be one another with them. Come alongside. Encourage them. Now, this is an academic term. It is talking about established in the faith. And notice how it says this. As you have been taught. You and I are to be gathering together to learn the Word. Not just on Sunday morning and other times. We are to gather together and learn together. That's why we have preaching on Sunday morning. I have to keep moving much faster here. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. Now, again, this is now, notice, present. Now, what is it saying? It's saying, after you step back and you think about how you have been rooted by God, you have been built up by God, and you have been established in the faith by a work of God in your life, you, present tense, active, you personally, us as a group, need to be characteristically thankful. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be, it fits with the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And so you ought to ask yourself, have I been grumbling about life? That's one of the blessings of calling on Brother Jerry and calling on Bruce. And you see these individuals that are going through troubles, but you don't see a negativism. You know, there's downs. There's ups and downs when you have this stuff. I'm not implying that it's all rosy. It isn't that. But there's an overall awareness of the sovereign hand of God. And you know what? God's at work. And there's a peace that goes with that that's not found in people that aren't properly grounded. The Christian life is about living for Christ. No, it isn't. It isn't about living for Christ. We just saw it. It is Christ living in us. He is the one who has rooted us. He is the one that has built us up. He is the one that is establishing our faith. And what we would be wise to do is be aware of the work of God in our life. And just that awareness is a huge step in going the right way with our life and celebrating that truth. These are military terms. So we had word pictures. He was using word pictures, metaphors throughout this. It was a military metaphor. He wanted us to picture the military standing strong, and he was complimenting them in that regard. And then he commanded them to walk as a pilgrimage together. And then he said, as an agricultural term, think of the tree with its roots going down and how strong it is and how it gets its nourishment through that system, which is rooted in God and Him, and the architectural being built up in Him. Again, our foundation is Him. It is not us. It is not how smart we are, not how strong we are, not the family connections we have. It is the spiritual connections we have in Him. And then the academic aspect of it is we are established in the faith by what we have learned about it. It talks about the importance of having our mind thinking accurately and not worldly in regards to how to respond to life. And the last one is the abounding, which we have responsibility. That abounding is a Greek word that is used of a river that is overflowing its banks. Now, we've seen a lot of that around the nation on the TVs. It is abounding. There is more there. That's how joyful and thankful we ought to be. Our hearts should be so bubbling over that it's coming out. We couldn't stop it if we wanted to. It's like a river that has gone over its banks. It is going to spread out. Here. To carry their load and to help one another. Now you go to the next one. We are to do this by learning the word. The word is what's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so if you really want to be moving forward, being built up in the word of, you know, in life as in your Christian walk, you need to recognize that He intends for us to feed off the word. To get our nourishment from the Word, our direction, our solace, our energy, our vitamins, our protein, all of this from the Word. And we're to learn the power of prayer. I don't think we do that very well. I know in my own life, I am really challenged in that. Like this phone call I had from this individual, it was, you could tell by the phone call that they were embarrassed that they had done it. And I prayed. I prayed earnestly. I appealed. I brought their name before the throne. And I begged for the Lord to protect them from making any further bad choices as a result. Because what happens is you make a bad choice and then you start feeling bad about it. And then many times people give up and really gets bad. So we got to be praying for one another. You and I ought to be praying on a regular basis for each other by name. And if we know the circumstances regarding the circumstances, and then we ought to be learning not only the power of prayer, but learning the power of Christ in us, the hope of glory. We do not have to fight life's battles alone. Now, this is subjective, I understand. But if you really will be praying for God to help you to understand it and grapple with this and get a hold of this, there is a phenomenal truth that God gives you strength to face life's challenges that often come and they're just beyond your challenges. They're beyond yourself. You're sitting there saying, man, I can't believe that went so well. You know, I had three situations in my life about 6 months ago that were really overwhelming me. I had gotten the one person, I would have to say, I characterized them as the most angry person I've ever known in my life, and I frankly didn't even want to receive their phone calls. And I'm telling you, they just really, really got to me. I can't give you the details, but it was not pretty. And then I had these neighbors, which, by the way, I want you to pray for, Mia and Javier. I have, for the last 6 months, as my wife and I have been really plugging into their lives. We go away for 10 days, we come back, and the apartment's empty, and they're gone. And I have no idea what happened to them. Just pray that I might get in contact. We were really reaching out to them because they were in a pretty tough situation with their living situation. But interestingly, Javier became so comfortable that he would show up almost every time for dinner. And he would come in and ask what we're going to have. and then we would sit down and there'd be other grandkids around. And he got to the point where he understood. He was an old believer. We talked to him about Christ, but I don't have any reason to believe he understood the gospel. But he got the facts down. He would tell, no, we got to pray first. He would say to one of my grandkids, don't eat yet. We haven't prayed. And it was just stunning from... Because Javier had done some things to us. You know, he had, in his activity, he had sent two of my grandkids to the emergency room two different times. You know, this kid is really, really aggressive and it was pretty out of control. But you know what? When I changed my heart, my wife changed her heart, and we started to reach out, it was amazing how it changed in his life. And it so did it for his older sister, who was 13. He's 10 and she was 13. She is 13. And how we were able to, but my point is, Christ does that for us. He can give us an opportunity to, what seems like it's consuming us, we can turn it over to Him and all of a sudden we can be used in God's program again. That's all I'm trying to say. That's the power of Christ in us. We don't do that in the flesh. In the flesh, you'd want to just keep throwing rocks back at Him or something. You know, that type of thing. Okay, going on. Learning to love God and others. All of these five items are how we live in Christ, at least in my mind. The Lord intends for us to grow in Him by practicing these five areas. Now, I'm going to quickly talk about it, but if you walk with Christ, is your walk with Christ healthy is a good question. How did we get up there? Where are the rest of the... You went too far in the... There we go. Now I'm back to where I was. Okay, I wanted to go through. We just got way ahead on our PowerPoint there when we moved through that hymn. By learning from and with others, you know, that was the first one. Remember how that was in this thing right there? Okay, the PowerPoint got a little mixed up here. But yeah, this is one of the verses. Just mark it down. 2 Timothy, I put it in your handout, by the way. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace of Christ Jesus, and the things which you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will also be able to teach others also. Here's the point. It is supposed to be one learning it and teaching another and teaching another and teaching another. That's supposed to be going on right here. That's not just the role of a pastor. It's the role of every believer. That's how we're supposed to be walking with the Lord. I think of Hebrews. Look at what it says in Hebrews in regards to this, to learn from one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We ought to be thinking about one another when we came together at the fellowship time and in this morning time. And when we go over to see Pastor Pete's installation service, thinking about how we can instill love, stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So much more as you see the day approaching. It's talking about us plugging in to one another's lives in a tangible way for God's glory. That's how we walk in Christ. That's how you walk in Christ. And we do it in the power of God working in us. The power of the Word. One of the things about the Word is that you got to be careful to handle it properly. That's one of the reasons why I think that you ought to look into some of these electronic tools that are available. They can help you have the tools so you don't make stupid decisions in regards to passages. Notice it says, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, doing what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So when you hear a person say, Oh, are you a Christian? Have you ever heard somebody say, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I've always been a Christian. Ever heard people say that to you? I'll tell you what, when you hear that, they're not rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you accept it as if, oh, yeah, that makes sense. He's a good person. I'm sure he's a believer. You are not rightly dividing the word of truth. What does the word of truth say? Except a man be born again. That doesn't sound like I've always been. You know, it says in Ephesians that we once walked in our evil practices. You know, this is not a good idea to just accept those things. We've got to rightly divide. I think of Psalms 100, there's 119. I've quoted it so often, you probably already know it just from me quoting it. Verses 9 through 11. Blessed is, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to his word. His word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. There's probably no verse that I turn to in my discipleship more than that. It says, get the word in your life. If you want to start having victory, get the word in your heart. And start making your decisions based on what the God, word of God says, not on your personal feelings. It'll shape your feelings as you do it. But Psalms 119 and several other passages, if you read through that chapter of 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You have to ask yourself, is it for you? Are you making decisions based on what is in the word? Or are you making decisions based on what you think is the right thing to do? Or what you think would be in your best interest? Be careful. Notice learning the power of prayer. There were so many words, verses on this one. I got frustrated. I didn't know which one to choose. But the one, I chose this one because it's so brief. And it tells us about the heart of the Apostle Paul. What does he say about prayer? Brethren, pray for us. Do you think he said that because he didn't think prayer was significant? Or do you think he thought it was significant? I think he understood that us as a group appealing to the throne room on behalf of one another is a critical issue. It's a critical issue in the spiritual battles in which we face. I think of 2 Thessalonians. There are several of them in the book of Thessalonians. Finally, brethren, pray for us, Paul's again speaking, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Notice, he was asking, pray for us, of other believers, because he had seen the word work in them. That's what he was saying. It's the truth we're talking about here. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you. Doesn't that sound like what we were just talking about? And guard you from the evil one. That's what I want for myself. That's what I want for you. That he would establish us and he would prepare us for the battles of life. And should we expect battles of life? In the world, you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. But what is the truth? There are tribulations. Things don't go the way we would hope, and they come at us often in surprising timing, in bigger ways than we ever thought we would be able to handle. Now, Christ in you, this concept. My own daughter obviously had, one of my daughters had a real problem with addiction. Now, finally has found victory. She's walking consistently with the Lord. And my son and his wife, my daughter-in-law, give testimony to that, because you would have never thought my daughter-in-law would have invited my daughter into her home because of the tensions that happened a decade ago. I mean, to me, that didn't seem like that's not possible. But Christ in us. Two things. Number one, you see the maturity in Heather. But you also see the transformation that's taken place in Sarah. And it is the work of Christ in their lives. And causing them to look at the same situation 100% from a different perspective. Now from God's perspective. The power of that is phenomenal. And it's such a blessing. That's so exciting. whom we preach. Philippians says this about the power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That isn't a stunning statement. That in Christ, we can say no to something that we have been addicted to for a decade or more. You can turn from it, but you won't turn from it in your own power. You got to turn from it in the power of the Lord, saying, you know what? It is more important to me that I glorify Him and that I live for Him than I experience a momentary gratification. Because I'm not doing that anymore. Because of the work of the Spirit within us. And then our love for God and others. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and only great commandment. And the second is like it, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's and that love, by the way, is defined as sacrificially giving of ourselves to meet the needs of others. We want to sacrificially give ourselves to God and say, I want to do what you want me to do. I have been bought with a price. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Therefore, I'm going to live as one who has been bought. I am not my own. I'm yours. And that same heart says we ought to do that for one another. Now, you know what the hardest part for that for me is? Is not doing giving of myself to me in the need of another. But you know what the hardest thing is for me? Is to receive someone doing that for me. Because it's very humbling. But it is to go both ways. Now, I see it in such... I am so blessed to be the pastor of this church. You as a group of people have so graciously cared for us as a family, as a couple. But it is so beautiful. I think of a situation that happened. I told you about... I used an illustration of how I loaned my lawnmower like I shouldn't have. You know what the deacons did? I didn't ask them to do this, but I had just a ton of repairs in my house recently, and I was really short of cash. And they show up one day with a brand new lawnmower. That's from you, by the way, and I thank you for that. I thank the deacons. I thank you for that. But that's what I'm talking about. You know, I looked at it, and I said, no, I don't want to do that. I get enough here. I got to just manage my life and take care of it. That's of the flesh. And that's not the way it's supposed to work. I'm going to read this and then we'll have to really move forward. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray for the Father that He will give you another helper, the Spirit of God, Christ in us, it's the Holy Spirit, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it is neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you, and you will be and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He was speaking of a time that we're living in now, where the Spirit of God comes and lives within us. What a peace. What a joy. So I'm talking about, stop living for Him as if you're going to do something for God. Live in Him. He is doing it for us. We need to acknowledge it. We need to rejoice in it. We need to live in His power. A grounded, growing, grateful believer will not be led astray. That's an important truth, isn't it? I think I wrote that on your... I got it from somebody else. I wish I could remember who it is, but it really is a good statement. A grounded, growing, grateful believer will not be led astray. Actually, I think it might be Wiersbe. Remember, we talked about these word pictures. He's talking about military terms, where to be orderly and steadfast, and we're to be walking, not sitting still or standing still. We're apt to be rooted deeply, which He is doing the rooting. Notice the boldness is the ones where He's doing it. And the architecture where He is building us up, and He is establishing this. But you know what? He is a gracious God. Revelations chapter 3, verse 20 says, and He's talking to believers in this context. He is saying He stands at the door and He knocks. That's our gracious God. He knocks there and wants to help us be built up. He wants us to be established. But we have a responsibility to receive Him. And not everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ is really open to the Lord taking over his life. There's a tension there in some cases. And if there is, you will go up and down in your walk with Christ. It will not be a pretty scene. Is your walk with Christ healthy? How did you do in those categories? And that's my challenge for you this afternoon. Think about that. Are you grounded like you ought to be? Because you know what? None of us have reached the point where He wants us to be. It is a progressive situation that He would be transforming us until He calls us home. Isn't that a thrill? As rich as your relationship is with Jesus Christ right now, if it may be at the pinnacle of your whole Christian walk, it's not as good as it can be. He intends for you to continue to grow closer to Him.